Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlada propitiates Lord Nrisimha Deva with prayers. Narada Muni said to Yudhishthira, "None of the Suras, led by Brahma and Shiva, could step forward because he, boiling with anger, was most difficult to approach. The goddess of fortune, personally by the demigods being urged to do so, could not move in his direction because she was very afraid, after seeing him so huge and wonderful as no one had ever seen or heard before." Lord Brahma then requested Prahlada, who stood close by, "My dear son, can you please approach the Lord and propitiate him? He is very angry because of what your father did." "Surely," he said, and even though he was only a small boy, "O king," the great devotee slowly, step by step, approached him and prostrated himself with folded hands, offering prayers. The Godhead was by him, such a little boy, fallen at his lotus feet, greatly moved, and filled with mercy he raised his lotus hand, placed it on his head, and dispelled the fear for the snake of time from all minds present there. Because of that touch, he was cleansed of all evil. Immediately, in this association with the Supersoul, at his lotus feet, his heart melted, being captured in bliss. With him in his heart, tears welled in his eyes and symptoms of ecstasy manifested all over his body. One pointed of mind being greatly concentrated, and with an out of love faltering voice, he, in the full surrender of his heart and mind, began to offer prayers to the Lord. Sri Prahlada said, "All the Suras, headed by Brahma, all the saints and others, fully in the mode of goodness, being one-pointed in their determination, could, despite their qualities, till the present day not please you with their streams of words. How can it be that you, as this Lord, would be pleased with my words? I was born an Asura. I think that riches, a good birth, a nice body, penance, Vedic knowledge, prowess, energy, influence, strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystical power will not satisfy at all. The spirit is pleased by bhakti, just like the Supreme Lord was pleased by Gajendra, the elephant." A scholar who, endowed with these 12 characteristics, does not care about the lotus feet of him from whose navel the lotus sprouted, I consider not as blessed as a man of low birth who dedicates his mind, words, wealth, life and everything he does to him. For he purifies his family, community or even his entire race that way, unlike someone who is too much of the mind. Whatever the respect an ignorant person pays to the innerly always satisfied Supreme Lord is by him gracefully accepted, not so much for his own benefit as for the benefit of the devoted person in question, just as the reflection in a mirror is there for the glory of one's own face. I will, therefore, free from that notion of being unfit in full surrender to the Lord, to the best of my ability and insight, focus on his glory, however low-born I am. When one, in ignorance, has entered this world, the best way to find purification is to describe and sing his glory. All souls who follow your instructions, like Brahma and the other demigods, are naturally always situated in goodness. But we, the Asuras, O Lord, are not like that and are always filled with fear. We should know that the pleasing incarnations of your Lordship in this material world are there to promote both your protection and the happiness of the soul. Therefore, please give up your anger about the Asura you have killed today. Even the saints are happy when a scorpion or snake is killed. The truth is that all the worlds are restored and contented with what happened, and that all their inhabitants will remember your form as the one that dispelled their fear. I myself am not afraid of your fearsome mouth, tongue, flashing eyes and frowning face, O invincible one, of your strong ferocious teeth, or garland of intestines and bloody manes, of your pointed ears, your roar that even scares the elephants, or the nails that pierced the enemy. But I do fear, O merciful father of care, that intolerable, ugly reputation of birth and death, to be thrown into the miserable condition of having to live among predator-minded people, and to be bound to the actions and reactions of karma, O insurmountable one. When do you, pleased with me, call me to the base of your feet that constitute the refuge in this ocean of matter? Because of taking birth, one is, in one's pleasurable or not that pleasurable existence of being united with the world, separated from you and burned by the fire of lamentation, irrespective of the body one resides in. Moreover, one suffers as much the remedies against that misery as one suffers the misery itself of taking the body for the real self. I, O greatest being, am wandering around in this existence. Please tell me how to be of service in your yoga. From constantly hearing the narrations handed down in succession about your pastimes as the well-wisher and supreme godhead, O Lord Nrishima, I will easily cross over this ocean of matter and be free from being contaminated by the basic qualities of nature. In association with the liberated souls, I will, with your 2 feet as my home, find liberation from all the misery. All the things that you personally do not care about, but which are cherished by those who are locked up in a physical body, only have the appearance of a remedy. The parentage that is the shelter for a little child, O Nrishima, the medicine for a patient, the boat for a person drowning in the ocean, or the countermeasures one takes against suffering a certain material condition, O Almighty One, all constitute but a temporary solution. Whatever situation it may concern, whatever seems to be the reason, whatever time it might be, by whatever agent and relating to whatever agent, caused by whatever agent, or for the sake of whatever agent, whatever the way of something or of whatever nature something might be, is certainly all nothing but another form of the Supreme Reality. Stated differently, in nature one finds, because of all kinds of changes, a specific form of separateness, but whatever form it may concern, it is always a manifestation of your Lordship's energy. The illusory nature of matter creates the mind that constitutes the source of fruitful actions or karma that are difficult to control. These actions are conditioned by the time that agitates the modes of nature and is respected in a certain way by the person. Thus, being defeated by the alluring but deluding material energy, one is tied to the 16 spokes of the senses of action and perception, the elements and the mind, of the wheel of rebirth, O unborn one. Who can escape from this without taking to your way? You are that one element of time to the tender mercy of which the soul eternally is left, being defeated by the modes of your rule. I present here, who has a form of material energy, in all his forsaking and appearing, is subjected to your cyclic control, and powerless, O Lord and Master. I am crushed under the wheel with the 16 spokes. Please help me, this soul of surrender, to get out of this, O Almighty One. O Almighty One, I have seen that people in general desire the longevity, opulence and glory of the pious leaders of heaven. But our Father, wishing this all for himself, was simply, by the laughter he provoked of your expansion as Nrishima, pulled down by you in the blink of an eye and destroyed. Therefore, I do not want to live as long as Lord Brahma does, or be rich and mighty. I know where all these foolish blessings of the senses of the embodied being lead to. I have no desire to be finished by you, so powerful as the master of time. Please lead me to the association of your servants. How can one with this body, that is a host to so many diseases, now be blessed with matters that sound good, but are like a mirage in the desert? Despite knowing this very well, people try to put out the fire of desire with difficult-to-obtain little drops of honey, temporary happiness, but they do not cure oneself of this. What is my position now? How can I surpass the fact of being born from a family far removed from the enlightened state into the darkness of a body that is moved by passion? The lotus hand of your causeless mercy that you offered me on my head as a token of grace would not even be available to Lord Brahma, to Lord Shiva, or to the goddess of fortune. From the sight of your lordship as the friend of the entire world, there can be no question of discriminating between higher and lower-born living beings. Nevertheless, there is of you, depending the service, like with a desire tree, the benediction reserved for those souls who serve you, whether they are of a higher level or not. The common man, who, in his material existence, runs after the objects of his desire, falls in a blind well full of snakes. I, who by bad association the same way landed in such a condition, was by the Sura sage Narada, O Supreme Lord, taken into confidence and led to the truth of the soul. How could I ever give up on the service of your pure devotee? O Unlimited One, by saving my life and killing my father, I think the words spoken by the Rishi have come true. For you have proven yourself when my father, with evil intentions, took up his sword and said, "Let that controller other than me save you now that I am going to sever your head." This universe, all around us, constitutes the oneness of you alone. You exist separately of this universe, which has a beginning, a middle, and an end, that you created by means of the three modes of nature in many varieties. Those primal qualities give shape to your external potency. Everything making up that diversity owes its regulation to you who entered it yourself. O Lord, you are there as the entire universe, or else as the one separate from it. You are the cause and the effect. The distinction between the material energy of your creation and you as being another self is a mistaken notion. The substance of something is equal to the substance of the form in which it appears. That what constitutes you is equal to that what the manifestation of the creation being maintained and annihilated consists of, just like it is with the seed and the tree, and the subtle element and the earth. With you retracting this universe within yourself, you experience, within the ocean being immersed in yourself, the spiritual state of bliss, while you seem to be doing nothing. But with you in the uniting of your consciousness, having closed your eyes, you also have imbibed the sleep. Without accepting material sleep, nor touching the modes of nature, you are then engaged in the union of the highest state of consciousness. Having awakened from your slumber on the bed of Ananta in the causal ocean, the great lotus of all the worlds appeared from your navel, like a banana tree does from its seed. That cosmic body of yours, this universe agitated by the time factor, constitutes your way of dealing with the material affair. He who is of the knowledge, Brahma, and who generated from that lotus, could not discern anyone else, since your lordship, as the seed, had expanded into himself. He then dived into the water for 100 demigod years, not understanding that a seed, once having fructified, O my lord, can no longer be perceived. He, being born from nothing but himself, was greatly astonished to find himself upon that lotus. After a long time, by severe austerities, being purified, he then found you, O controller, who, very subtly, like an aroma in the earth, are situated, spread throughout all of the sentient being. Lord Brahma thus achieved transcendental bliss, for he saw, in one view combined, the Supreme Personality, being endowed with all kinds of ornaments, weapons and signs, demonstrating his full potency with thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears and eyes. By accepting, in an incarnation, the head of a horse, you killed two very powerful demons named Madhu and Kaitaba, who represented the modes of passion and ignorance. Next, you delivered the Shruti, the four Vedas, to Lord Brahma, because of which one honors your most appreciated form, called Hayagriva, as an embodiment of pure goodness. You protect all the worlds this way, according to the yuga in question, appearing in different incarnations as a human being, a saint, a god, or an aquatic. Sometimes, in defense of the Dharma, you kill the troublemakers of this world, O Supreme Personality, but because you, in Kali Yuga, operate undercover, you, being spoken of as one and the same person, are called Triyuga. A mind not tuned to your transcendental topics is far removed from the Lord of Vaikuntha because of the sins it sympathizes with and is polluted, dishonest and hard to control. Filled with desires and lusts, that mind is, because of the therewith associated urges of highs and lows, fears and distress. Tell me how I, with such a mind being poor and fallen, must understand your supreme purpose. The tongue pulls me in this direction, O infallible one, and the genitals, not being satisfied, pull me that way. Likewise, the skin, the belly and the ear are going for this, and the nose is running after that, while the eyes are looking for yet another thing. Thus the eager, busy senses altogether bring one down like a householder is brought down by his co-wives. Because we, this way, with our karma, fell into the Vaitarani river, we, alas, one after the other birth and death, eating all kinds of foodstuff, suffer from an ever-increasing fear, seeing how the living being, caught in his body and entangled in the association with other bodies, is of enmity and friendship. O you, who from the other side of that river wants to show us your kindness, in this world we at present are nothing but a bunch of fools. O Master of all, we, friendly people, are always eager to be of service in this matter. O Supreme Lord, what would be the difficulty for your great compassion to deliver us, materialistic fools, from the cause of time and again having to set up, keep going, and come to naught with our karmic endeavors, O friend of the needy? O Supreme One, because my mind is absorbed in the singing and proclaiming of your sweet ocean of glories, I am free from worries about the hard-to-cross Vaitarani that is this world. I am more concerned about those fools who, missing the liberation in carrying the load of their sensual interest, are making plans in favor of illusory forms of happiness and dutifulness. O Godhead, saints ambitious for their own salvation, generally in silence wander in remote places, not so much interested in a life for the sake of others. But I, unlike them, do not want to ignore my suffering fellow men. I do not desire liberation for myself alone. I cannot accept it to see other people wander around, oblivious of this shelter of yours. Everything associated with common householders' sexual happiness is as trivial as rubbing one's hands to find relief from an itch. The miserable person is by this kind of itch-relief sexuality not freed from his discomfort and uneasiness, and in fact the servant of all kinds of unhappiness. only when one recognizes that kind of temporary imaginary happiness and manages to tolerate the itching not surpassing necessity, one can develop intelligence, stability and energy. Silence, vows, Vedic knowledge, austerity, study, dutifulness, explaining the scripture, living alone, mantra meditation and absorption belong to the path of liberation, but these matters, these 10 activities of emancipation, are often part of a method of making a living that is practiced by people who have not conquered their senses at all, O my Lord. Thus, one in this context may wonder whether one deals with hypocrisy or not. Are we not dealing with false pretenses? The forms of your spiritual cause and material effect, as explained in the Vedas, are like the seed and its sprout. But you, being without a specific form, are also not any of these two forms. Those who are connected in your yoga, the Bhakti Yoga devotees, can clearly see both these aspects before their eyes, like wood and fire in wood, and this cannot be achieved any other way. You are the air, the fire, the earth, the sky and the water, the sense objects, life force, the senses, the mind, the consciousness, and all assisting divinity belonging to it. You are all of that, the unique of the natural reality of the modes, as also the one beyond it all. O my Lord, whatever that is manifested or is expressed in the mind and by words is no one else but you. Neither all the modes of nature, nor their predominating deities, neither the complete of the cosmic intelligence, the false ego, the gross and subtle elements, the senses and their objects, nor those who are so mindful in association with all the godly souls and the mortals who all have a beginning and an end, O Lord, glorified by all the saints, none of them is truly capable of covering all that is yours, and therefore all intelligent people at this point rest their case and engage in your devotional service. I therefore offer you, O best of the worshipable ones, my obeisances and engage with prayers in your worship, work for you, remember you, cherish your lotus feet, and always listen to the talks about you. How can a person, without honoring you in all these 6 ways, ever be of bhakti for you, who are the goal of the best souls of transcendence? Sri Narada said, I thus far have described the transcendental qualities of the bhakta in his bhakti. The Lord, transcendental to the modes, was pleased and in control of his anger, next addressed him who had surrendered himself at his feet. The Supreme Lord said, Prahlada, my sweet boy, I wish you all good fortune. I am pleased with you, O best of the asuras. Just ask me for any blessing you desire, for I am, for each and every one, the fulfillment of all desires. Live a long life. He who does not please me has difficulty seeing me. But when someone has seen me, he no longer deserves it to lament his condition. For that reason, O fortunate one, stable, intelligent and energetic devotees, who know to behave themselves and wish the best for each and all, desire to please me, the master of all benedictions, in every respect. Sri Narada said, even though the best of the asuras thus was allured by worldly benedictions, he did not want anything of all that one longs for. He chose for the Supreme Lord exclusively.